Okay, so I only heard from one person about seating request. If you have a specific request, you need to get that to me today, immediately following class today. Okay, don't email me right this second. I know you sent it during class, and that will frustrate me that you ignored the rest of my lecture. But send it today when we get out of class. Email me if you have a specific request. I'll finish out, switch people around based on those requests that I get today. We will be in assigned seats on Thursday. Okay, as a reminder, you need to be in your chair, assigned chair, when that clock probably says 4:30 still, since it's off by an hour, but whenever it turns to 30. Okay. If you get here between exactly when it turns to 30 and 35, you're going to be late and get knocked halfway. Yes, sir. If there's a specific question, if you're coming, we have some ROTC guys who are coming from off campus for their exercises last semester, we can work those things out. It's going to have to be a pretty good reason, though. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's, again, we'll start attendance on Thursday. Okay. This week, one reason we did this today as well is I was fairly clear a lot of you didn't check the pre-submission checklist on your submissions. If you notice, these questions are straight from that pre-submission checklist for your reports. So this is effectively our first cut through your reports is checking these things. Okay, they're set up the basic structure of what the technical document should look like for what you submit here and in general. Okay. That said, we're actually going to review that a little bit for the first few minutes today. Then we'll break into our artist groups, and you can work on that design, the House of Quality design tools there. We'll be bouncing around, asking questions about who your customers are, what their requirements are, those kind of things. Okay, so that'll give you some time. We'll have some time on Thursday as well to work on that. Remember that you have a report due on Friday, by 5 p.m. on Friday. Right? It's listed as initial report, but it needs to be a full report. It's not a rough draft of some report. It's a report that you guys think is final for that RLS project. Okay. It's initial reports because what we're going to do next week is we will meet with each team and offer you corrections and suggestions on both the design tools and the document itself. Okay. So it's initial in the sense that basically you're submitting to us for feedback before your final submission that happens, I think it's February 16th, I think. So after Mardi Gras, you have the final version of the presentation due. Everybody clear on that? So it's initial, and then it's a first final copy. We'll give you edits back on it. We'll talk to you about it. Then you have your final copy due February 16th, I think it is. Right. That clear? Okay. The second piece of that, one sec. I think you want to do, of course, as good a job you can. And the better job you get, the better report you get to us on Friday, the more better feedback we're going to be able to give you, the better your grade is going to be, and better you're going to be able to do. We're effectively giving you answers to the exam, right? Allowing you to do the exam, giving you the corrections back, and then answer the questions again, right? So we're giving you the answers to the test by meeting with you. So take advantage of that by doing a good job for the one that's due on Friday. All right? Question?
I was just wondering if you had a rough idea of when the first reports would be graded.
I have 5 of them left, which I'm hoping to finish tonight.
Okay.
Yeah. Yes. You'll get an email back from me to your team with the PDF will be graded.
Okay.
Yep. Other questions? Yes, sir.
Is there a video associated with this next main project?
There is a presentation. With RLS, yeah. So if you check the RLS PDF handout, there is both more information about, there's a suggested outline, like all the reports in here, there's a suggested outline there. More information about the video presentation you have to do. There is a completely separate handout with more tips and tricks and submission guidance on how to get that video done. If you have specific questions, let us know. We'll be happy to help out. Yeah.
Okay, so we have to have the report done by Friday? Or
just the report is due Friday. So you do the report this Friday, initial, final, what you think is the final draft of that report by Friday. We'll do feedback next week. Then you have the time frame after that to do the revise the report, as we said, and your presentation is essentially an oral version of the written document. So we'll give you feedback on the written document. You can incorporate that into a final presentation. That makes some sense? Other question? Or are you just stretching? Okay. So let's do a quick review of what you just kind of answered some questions about. As a reminder, there's a whole set of presentations covering this topic. So when you get to writing your reports, you want to know more about this, that's a good place to check. There are, I think, three or four full chapters of the book dedicated to technical communication, including example sections of the reports, done well, not done well, give you an idea of what to do. Okay. I want to say it's chapters 10 to 13 or 9 to 13, somewhere in that range. So I think as engineers, probably a lot of you see this idea about writing. And the first question that probably comes into some of your minds is, why should I care about this writing stuff? Right? I'm an engineer, right? I do numbers. We write equations. We do analysis. Why should I care about writing and being able to communicate effectively? Right? Well, kind of one of the main points is if you can't communicate an idea that you have or some analysis you've done, you might as well not have the idea or not have done the analysis. Right? There's very little engineering in your career you're going to do by yourself and not have to communicate to someone else. And engineering is done in teams, quite often quite large teams of people. Right? So communication is an essential element of engineering. Right? If that doesn't convince you it's worthwhile, this maybe will. I think this is true across the entire variety of different industries. Those that can communicate effectively are quite often the people you see rising to be bosses, executive vice presidents, CEOs. So if you want your career to be on that path, communication is an essential part of that. So if we do start caring at least a little bit about writing, right, which I'm hopefully going to convince you of throughout the entire semester of its importance, you have some questions to ask yourself. Some of the first questions you're going to ask yourself when you're preparing a technical document, most of this is phrased around documents, but same kind of questions come up for presentations. And the first question to ask yourself really is, what's the purpose of this document or presentation? Right? What information, what's the key information I'm trying to convey to my reader or audience? Right? Make that an explicit question in your process. Okay? And then once you've kind of identified that point or points, you should think about who's the primary audience. Who's your nominal reader? Like, who's this document written for? Who am I presenting to? Right? And when you're thinking about that, you need to think about their technical competence. Is this a document for other engineers? Is this a document for entry-level engineers or senior engineers? Right? Is this a sales document? Is this documentation for the end user? Right? All those need to be written at different technical levels. Right? You also need to think about what's the reader or audience's expectations of this kind of document. What's the standard practices used in this kind of document? Okay? You should also consider, particularly if you're giving a presentation, what are the language skills of your audience? Right? Hopefully all of you have the opportunity to work globally, if you so desire. Present and work with others who maybe English is not their first language. Right? That's going to change how you have to present to that audience. I was just over at Korea a couple weeks ago. My slides and how I structure my slides changes based on knowing that the majority of my audience now does not speak English as their first language. Okay. It also might help, depending on the type of document, to know your audience's interest. Right? Particularly if you're working on kind of a technical slanted sales or marketing document with your marketing team, for example. Right, your team should be figuring out, what are these people interested in? What's my customer interested in? Things like that. And that list can go on and on. Right. So when you look at those kind of questions you're asking yourself about a technical document or presentation, what does that look like to you? Yeah, figuring out who my customers are and what are my customers' requirements. Right? So who are my customers of this document or presentation, and what do they want from it? So we can walk down a similar path for the technical documentation as we do for the design itself. Okay. I think make this an explicit part of your process. Right? My lab for our research papers, we do what we call fat outlines. So it's not just a bullet point outline. They're kind of fat bullets, sentences rather than just phrases. One point we put on that outside the outline is what's the main point of this document? If the reader is going to remember one thing about this paper or about our research, what do we want it to be? It's the purpose of this document. Right. We make that an explicit question in our process. Right. Because everything, if that's the main purpose, that everything you do after that should inform and support that main point. Right. Technical documents, what we are reporting is accomplishments or results. Right. Your end prototype you're presenting at this snapshot in time. Right. The results of this prototype testing. Right. This new device that our division of the company has developed. This new design that our company built that we want you to sell, Target or Walmart or whatever. Okay. You also might be presenting, particularly if you happen to go to grad school or something like that, most of the papers that my group and I write are really about methods or theories, a new way to solve a problem, not necessarily an actual physical design to solve a problem. Most of what you're going to do in this class is obviously the first kind of sub-bullet there. You're going to be talking about a design, a proposed design, a proposed concept. Okay. What you don't want to include in technical communication is administrative stuff. Right? No information on how often your team meet belongs in the thing. You don't want it to be a narrative story of the last 6 months of your team working on this thing. Shouldn't it be we did this, then we tried that idea and it didn't work, and then we tried this other thing. Right? Then we saw this on the Discovery Channel, gave us a new idea or whatever. Okay? So you don't present administration, you don't present stuff about your team, with rare exception. Okay? Effectively, what you want is your document, your technical document should be about the designer idea and not about you, is another way to think about this point. Your reader, for the most part, is reading this document to learn about the design, not to learn about your life. So give them information about the design. Okay? So let's talk about some general guidelines. I think one that's important is to maintain consistent formatting. Right? The formatting itself, your style sheet can change. It's important to be have some kind of consistent formatting, I think. More so than the, certainly there's things you should avoid, and we talk through those. But consistent fonts from one section to the next, or it's consistent font family at least from one section to the next. Consistent font sizes, right? Consistent figure sizes and aspect ratios where appropriate, right? Consistent margins throughout the whole document. Don't have your text have one margin and then you have a figure slammed way over against the very edge of the page. Okay? Have the same margins everywhere. Right? Don't change fonts because your teammate pasted in the second section and Word copied their styling to. Right? That's a really common one. Okay. Consistent formatting. We generally want to avoid first person. Okay? And we generally want to avoid kind of chronological narrative structure. That's the, we did this, then we tried that, finally we found this. And then kind of tying all this together, as you need to read and revise your document 10 times more times than you think you need to. Okay. Writing the thing the first time is a very, very, very small part of writing as an act. Right? Like even fiction authors will say the same thing. There's a really great book by Stephen King about the craft of writing, his editing process. It's really nice. It's writing about Edgar Allan Poe. It talks through revisions of The Raven, actually. It's pretty cool. So even, you know, this applies to pretty much anything you're writing. Right? As a writer, edit, edit, edit. If you want to be a good writer, be a great editor. Okay. One thing I like to do before I, particularly before important final submissions, is to sit down somewhere, hopefully where I'm not going to bother anybody, and read the thing aloud. Read it out loud to myself. Right? Or use the built-in speak the text Both Mac and Windows have that built-in right-click on a block of text, and it will read it to you. Well, that's going to do for you, either reading it to yourself or getting the computer read it to you. As it changes kind of the context in your mind, you're going to recognize errors and inconsistencies much easier. It's going to force you to slow down. Like if you're reading your own paper, your own words silently, your brain's just going to fix a lot of problems. Right? Typos, you just miss them because your brain corrects it on the fly. Right? The computer speak to text will see some typo, and it's not going to fix it for you. So it's going to be pretty obvious right away. The computer's designed for perfect grammar, perfect syntax, all those kind of things. Right? So these algorithms don't do well with poorly structured sentences, this kind of thing, poor grammar. So it's going to sound really weird to you. Same thing if you're actually reading it aloud, reading out loud to yourself. Okay. So again, writing is a really small piece of writing. All this sets up in that our job as an author or presenter, if you're doing presentations, is to make your reader or audience's job to understand the material as easy as possible. Okay. So inconsistent formatting gets in the way of your reader understanding what's going on in the document. Right? Makes it fundamentally harder for them to do that. Right? Even on a subconscious level, at minimum. Mixing in anecdotes about your team, and really kind of chronological structure rather than logically organized report, which we'll talk about in a second, makes it harder for your reader to understand what you're presenting. Right? You're failing in your job as a presenter or an author if you're doing that. Okay? Not editing, poor grammar, tons of spelling errors, typos everywhere. That's getting in the way of your reader understanding the information you're trying to convey. Okay? Those things are important. Writing also, most of these, like we said, most of engineering is a team effort. So some common mistakes on the team thing is that, hey, you write a sec, you write the introduction, I'll write the design, you write the evaluation, you do the conclusion and abstract, and you do the figures. And that's fine, you're going to need to divide your work, right? But if you just, everyone writes separately and then you staple it and then hand it over, or you know, combine it to a PDF and send it off, you're going to end up with inconsistent voice throughout the document. Each one of us writes a little bit differently. Each section is going to sound different. Right? You're going to end up, particularly if you're using Word or Google Docs, seems to be not so great at this either. The formatting will come with whatever you combine from the other person, the other people in your group. Right? So each section is formatted a little bit differently. It's distracting for your audience, your reader. You'll even end up with problems that are more design specific. Each of you are writing a section separately, you can end up describing the same things using different terminology. Right? So spaghetti truss, it's a spaghetti truss member, it's a spaghetti cross brace. Right? And you're all talking about the exact same part. What that's doing is getting in the way of your reader understanding that these are all the same things and understanding your design. Okay? So the easy fix for that, yes, you're going to have to split your work up. But you have to reserve some time to come back together and edit it as a full document, as one document. Okay, checking for consistency of voice, formatting, terminology, all those things. Okay. The other thing that's common in this type of class, senior design, it's pretty common for this people to make this mistake, is that, hey, I'm really good at writing reports, and you guys are great at building. Let's just divide our work that way. You guys build the thing, I'll write the report. Okay? Well, one common mistake, and it's pretty obvious when this happens, and it happens quite often, is the report or things in the presentation doesn't actually match what was built or what was designed. Right? That's a big problem that happens that way. Right? But however, the other one that you miss out on, because senior design will have intermediate reports, we have intermediate reports, is there some clarity of process that comes about when you have to explain your idea to someone else? If I have to think about this clearly enough to be able to write about it, it's going to clear my own thinking about my design. Okay? Or my research topic for us, my group. Okay? So some clarity of thinking that comes from having to explain it to someone else. So if the people that are doing the design and build aren't working on the writing as well, you miss out on that feedback loop on your process. So I think avoid the second one altogether. You need to share the design among your group. You need to share the writing among your group. Okay. So let's talk more specifically about what belongs in a technical document. Presentation will follow a very similar order. Most technical documents will have an abstract, or if you're in the company, quite often you'll hear that called an executive summary. Executive summary being a little bit longer than an abstract. Right? Abstract's a paragraph, basically. Executive summaries will be a page. There'll be an introduction section. There'll be what we call the main sections, which vary based on what kind of document or presentation you're preparing, whether it's a design-centric report or kind of an algorithm theory-centric report. There's some conclusion section and then a references section. Okay. The abstract. Think about the abstract as a standalone document that summarizes what's in the report. The abstract is what people are going to see first about most things you write. They read the abstract, okay, this is the report I need to read to answer my question or whatever. So that's the first thing they'll read about document. Everything that's in your document needs to be kind of introduced there. Doesn't refer to anything inside the document. Figures don't get referenced. Tables don't get referenced. There's no section 3 says this in the abstract. It's a completely standalone document that summarizes what's in the thing. Okay. Abstract, however, introduces the reason for the report. What problem is this report, this design, the design containing this report addressing? Probably presents a high-level summary of the methods used and summarizes key results. Key results in the framework of a design document or design presentation will include a 1 to 2 to 3 sentence overview of the design you're recommending or chose. Okay. Design proposed for the artist contest uses 2 wheels to drive across the desert once it lands from a parachute on the rocket. Primarily uses GPS for localization on the desert. There's a 2-sentence overview that can give someone an idea of what your design might look like. Oh, that sounds kind of interesting. Then they go and read the full report to get the information. That makes some sense? 1 to 2 to 3 sentence high-level overview of your design has a place in the abstract. Okay, that's a key result that is included in the document if you're presenting a design document. Questions about the abstract? Introduction. One primary function of the introduction is to introduce the problem you're solving and convince the reader that this is a problem worth solving and something they should care about. Here's the problem. Here's why it's important. Here's how we need to solve it. Why we need to solve it. Right. More specifically, it should introduce the problem. Quite often, doesn't show up in so many of the reports in this class, will be some survey of relevant previous work. Here's a problem we're trying to solve. This group at MIT tried to solve it this way. This group at Stanford tried to solve it this way. These guys at LSU did it this way. None of those quite work well enough, effectively, right? And explaining why those prior efforts don't quite solve the problem you're trying to solve. Yes?
So in our project, we would use past examples.
So that's a point that's a little bit, doesn't show up so much in this class. I think for Arliss, there could be some prior work, right? You can certainly see what's been done in past semesters that we've gone. You also could look at similar areas. So it's not just someone tried to solve this exact problem. Someone has tried to solve a similar problem, but that solution doesn't quite work for us. We're going to need to do something at least a little bit different, right? So Arliss, you might, if you're going to work on this section, you might include information about Mars rovers, right? Built this way, but they're way too big, way too expensive for Arliss, yeah. Right? But the core concepts do provide some information. It can provide some framing on the problem you're trying to solve.
And we would reference those because, let's say we use past experiences, we reference it with competitions that
have
before. Is that one?
Yeah. So you could, relevant previous work. You could reference prior Arliss entries themselves. And again, you could reference, however, things that have solved problems similar to yours but are not exactly the same. Right? And quite often what that will also do is kind of set up, these guys solve this problem that's a little bit like ours, and this other team solved the problem that's a little bit like ours in a different way, and if we take those two ideas and add some seasoning, we get a solution for our problem. So you're setting up the background information, helping the reader understand the lay of the land around the problem you're trying to solve. Okay. Excuse me. And then, end your introduction. Most technical reports end with what I kind of call a roadmap sentence. Right? It basically lays out the kind of structure of the rest of the report. Right. Effectively a text table of contents. Right. The next section will introduce the chosen design. Then in section 3, the understanding of the customer and their key requirements is presented, et cetera, et cetera. So what happens, you get longer technical documents, people only care about certain sections. You're gonna give them a pointer to where they need to go to get that information. Okay. Here's an example right out of your book that has an example introduction. I promise your book will help you. There's some background. In this case, they talk about customer needs. That can show up in the intro, quite often reserved for later, much better. We'll introduce the engineering challenges associated with that problem, why this is a hard problem to solve. Right? And these are kind of design problems or engineering challenges. These are not problems for your team. Right? Oh, this is a challenging problem because we don't have much time to work on it. Because we have other classes. Right? That's not an engineering problem. Right? Or none of us have ever built anything before, so it's going to be hard to really build this thing. Right? Yeah, that's a challenge for you, and I appreciate that. But it's not an engineering challenge. It doesn't belong in an engineering document. And then you end, they're a little bit less explicit than I'm suggesting on the kind of roadmap for what's coming up in the document. There's an example there. Questions about the introduction?
You said customer needs don't typically show up in the introduction?
Yeah, I think certainly detailed discussion of them. I think some high-level customer needs might, if they're really what's defining your problem you're solving.
Could you make a section specifically for?
Yes, we'll get to that. Yeah. So customer needs will show up in greater detail much later. The customer needs that show up here are ones that are probably setting the boundaries on the problem you're solving. For our list, for example,
right.
The rules of the contest also are kind of customer needs. But I think your reader would need to understand those rules to understand the problem you're solving. Right. So those kind of customer needs that are kind of the boundaries of your design space quite often will show up here. Right. But detailed discussion of their importance and which ones are more important than others, that comes in a later section. Other questions about the introduction? Okay. The main sections, design reports, you introduce the problem. Here's why existing solutions are not sufficient to solve this problem. You immediately follow with your solution to that problem. Okay. Here's the problem. Here's our solution. Okay. Section 2. Most of the reports you write in this class, or the remaining reports with the exception of one, will be here. Introduction, here's the problem. Section 2, here's our answer. Okay. We do this because you still have the reader's attention at this point. Right? The aha, last moment, one more thing kind of things don't work. People tune out. Okay. You also need to start with the solution at a high level. Here's the big picture on how this design works, high level functionality of how it works, and then move to the details. Okay. What's going to happen if you do this the other way around? If you start describing all the little details and subsystems, your reader has never seen your design before, has no way to connect all of those in their mind until 10 pages later, 15 pages later, 50 pages later. So they're not going to understand, not going to be able to frame how those pieces work together if you haven't shown them that first. Okay. So we start high-level functionality, work towards details. Yes, sir?
So this is where like our function tree would kind of go in, well, not go into the part, would help our report, you know, develop, because we're figuring out the, you know, main functions, and then those are the main details, and then we would...
Sure. So in this section, we're not... very likely citing and referencing a function tree here,
okay.
Right? But you are right, and the function tree does give you some idea of how you could break those sections up when you're explaining the design here. We'll talk about the function tree in the next section. Okay. But again, start big, high-level functionality, and then nail down the subsystems as needed. Okay. So then if you do it that way, when you get to the subsystems, your reader knows how they're fitting together to form the whole big design. Those main sections, citing the design tools, etc., fall into the next section, right? So section 2 is that. Section 3 and 4 maybe is support for why that's a good solution. So the introduction, here's the problem we want to solve, and it's important. You should pay attention. Section 2, here's the answer. Section 3, 4, whatever, here's our support for why we think that's a good answer. But of course not worded that way. Right. Okay. And that will include for us, and in the design report, citing the house of quality function tree spec sheet, referencing those tools to communicate that information to the reader. Okay. If you're looking for a kind of a method or theory or problem solving type report, which we don't really do in this class, but just so you're aware, typically you're going to logically present the method itself from kind of theory, the math, derivation, similar to how you see in a textbook, derivation of the topic. And then you'll typically begin with a simple case and work towards edge more complicated cases. Kind of how a textbook's laid out in a lot of ways. You learn a very simple way, simple version of a problem, simple example problem, and work to the more complex cases. So these kind of theory papers, most of the stuff my lab writes, for example, for our research, here's the derivation of our theory. Here's a simple example. Okay, here's a more complex example and support for why that works. Okay, so let's look at the design reports in more detail, because that's what you guys are writing in here. Okay, so section 2, the final design section, the chosen design, recommended design, any of those terms would fit. Right. Again, you're going to start with a high-level overview of the functionality of the final design and move to lower-level details. We've already kind of discussed that. In this section, in section 2 of your report, there should be no pro and con discussion here. There's no evaluation of strengths and weaknesses that happen at this section of the report. Okay. Section 1, here's the problem. Section 2, here's the answer. And you're just, here's the answer, just like figuratively setting on the table in front of your reader. Here's how it works. Those things, right? To do that well, right, you are going to need figures of your designs. You don't need CAD drawings for what you're doing, certainly. Later in your career, you probably will, right? But you need those drawings to have enough information. Most of you guys did pretty well in your spaghetti drawings to convey the design, to convey the functionality of the design. Right? Doesn't need to be CAD drawings. Right. Doesn't need to be a full render, all pretty. Right. On those figures, you do, however, need to label parts according to their function. So tape doesn't tell me a whole lot other than the material that's there on your spaghetti tower. Right. What was the function of the tape when it was working there? Okay. Spaghetti. Label a line labeled spaghetti. Doesn't tell your reader anything about the functionality of that spaghetti in terms of this design. What is that piece of spaghetti doing? Okay. You need to provide enough dimensions to give scale. So like we talked, kind of Q&A about your spaghetti stuff, right? You don't need to give detail all the way down to what bolt or nut size you need or exactly what gear ratio you're going to need, right? But you need to give your reader, is this thing 10 inches or is it 10 feet? Right? Is it 10 centimeters? 10 millimeters? Right? Enough dimensions to give your reader the scale of the object, your design. Okay? As you move on, your design gets more complex, and probably even within the context of the R-less, having a figure of each kind of major subsystem of the system, of your total system, can be helpful. This doesn't necessarily need to be even a new drawing, just zoomed in differently with different things labeled. Is one way you can do that, depending on how you've drawn the total design. Or if you are using CAD, a different view of the same object so that you can see the subsystem better. Right. So you start with a figure of the full design, and then you maybe need to fill in with figures of each subsystem to help your reader understand how each individual subsystem works. Okay. These figures, the better they are, not the prettier they are, although that helps, right? They don't need to be CAD. The clearer they are, the more clearly they're labeled and scaled, dimension-wise, more detail you have of subsystems, extra figures identifying each subsystem, the more you're going to be able to get away with in the text describing your design, right? If your reader can look at your 4 or 8 or 10 figures of your proposed design and really understand how it works, that gives you a lot of leeway in how clean your text description of that design needs to be. Right. So keep that in mind. That's, and truth be told, that's how a lot of people are going to read your reports, is that they're not going to read your reports. Right. They're going to look at the figures, they're going to look at plots and charts and tables without spending a lot of time actually reading the document itself. So kind of have that in mind. Right. That's when understanding your customer of the document comes into play. We'll move on after our kind of introducing the chosen design. Remember, it has no pros and cons. Now we're into this kind of second half of that main part of the report that provides justification for why this is a grid design. Okay? Why you should build this one. Why we should move forward with production for this design. Okay? So you need to identify for your reader who are the customers, who are their key requirements. Right? You need to identify for your reader what were the key engineering specs that resulted from those requirements. Okay. What kind of functionality must the design have? Okay. What does that sound like to you guys? We got house of quality. We got function tree for the third point. What about the second point? Spec sheet, right? So basically, this section is talking through these tools. Right? We talked through when we looked at how we actually do these tools. A lot of the utility is thinking really clearly about filling them out. There's a lot of utility in them as a communication medium as well. If you thought clearly about what needs to go in your house of quality and what your specs are and what the key functions of your design are, the tool itself is a nice way to communicate that to your reader or audience. But you are going to have to point to them. You can't just say, oh, here's the house of quality. Right? You need to discuss the house of quality and make sure you're pointing out what is important in this house of quality for this design process or this problem we're solving. Don't make your reader figure out that on their own. Right? They're going to get it wrong, probably. Right? So help them along. Point them to what's most important in all of these tools for your given design. We were given design problem you're working on. Okay. So that's section 3 for most reports we're going to do in here. All right. Questions about that? Okay, let's march forward. So now that you've identified and conveyed the most important customer requirements to your user, you continue to support choice of the final design by providing some other viable alternatives that you considered. And then you need to support the selection of your recommendation of your design over those alternatives. Okay. So that shakes out. You need to first introduce the concepts themselves and then evaluate those alternatives compared to your final design. Okay. So while you're introducing the alternative concepts, you need to make sure they're true alternatives. That's actually a design decision. You need to present enough detail that your reader can understand how the thing would work. You certainly will have less detail for these designs than you do for the recommended one. But there needs to be enough for your reader to understand how it would work. Okay? And that probably means, or necessarily means, you're going to need figures of the alternatives as well. Okay? Just like the text discussion, they're probably going to be less detailed than your chosen design. But if you have to convince your reader of the functionality, it's nearly impossible to clearly convey any kind of complex design or mechanism in just words. Right? Use figures to help yourself. Help your reader understand the functionality of your alternative. Okay. In this introduction to these alternative concepts, so we haven't done any kind of pro and con discussion of the chosen design in section two. We're also not yet doing any pro and con discussion of these alternative concepts during their introduction. Because we need to introduce them before we're able to compare them, right? So once all the alternative designs are introduced, then we do pro and con discussion through the use of those evaluation matrices we learned about. Okay. Your evaluation, your pro and cons need to reference the evaluation matrix. You need to be choosing a recommended design based on information contained in that environment, that evaluation matrix, because it is based on what you said the customer requirements are. Okay. The kind of main idea of this section, right, evaluating these alternatives, can kind of be boiled down to one sentence. Right? Final design was chosen because it was good, A, B, and C, even though it's not so good at X, Y, and Z. Okay. That's kind of the idea of this section. Because basically, other alternatives may be better at X, Y, Z. Your design might not be good at X, Y, Z. But I showed you in the previous section that X, Y, and Z are lower importance requirements for my customer. And our chosen design does so much better at A, B, and C that are important requirements for my customer. That's why it's chosen. So this whole kind of evaluation section is all pointing towards this point, right? And referencing specific customer requirements in that evaluation. Okay. Questions about that one? Okay. Conclusions are very abstract-like. Conclusion as an end. Conclusion. Summarizes what presented, meaning there's no new information in the conclusion. Okay. You need to reiterate the reason for the report. Present a high-level summary of the methods used, which will quite often include a 1 to 2 sentence overview of the design, maybe a summary of the tools used or key customer requirements, and a summary of key results, which may be the design. For your spaghetti tower, or how high was the thing? That's a key result in that, in terms of that report. Very abstract-like, the conclusion. Questions about that? Okay. Talk quickly about writing about the design tools. You want to avoid parenthetical citation and use kind of phrases as seen in figure X, shown in figure X, seen in table 2. Best to present those tools as fact. Here's one way to discuss them. I think a great way to discuss them. You want to avoid, of course you're avoiding first person. If you think about the customer requirements as you see them at this snapshot in time as just fact, you're going to be much less likely to write things like we believe and we found. So kind of help yourself out by just considering them fact. Most important customer requirement is. Right, that snapshot in time. Your analysis of the design problem is fact. It's data. Okay. And as you're writing about the design tools that we discussed a few slides ago, you need to point out to your reader or audience what the most important points are in each. and quite often why they're important for this design problem. Okay? So, let's take a look. Here is, Here is a paragraph discussing housing quality. Take a minute to read it, and then we'll take a vote on whether this is a good paragraph or a bad paragraph. Okay, who thinks this is a good paragraph discussing housing quality? Who thinks this is a bad paragraph discussing housing quality? Most of you, good deal. I agree. Why is it bad? Anybody? I have a parenthetical citation. That is true, that is bad. That's sentences are not so great. Structure, not so great writing in general. That's true, probably. What else? Yeah, typos, maybe. Yeah, probably. What else? It's a little bit chronological. This was done, then this was done. It's repetitive a little bit, probably. Yeah. A little bit wordy. That's the biggest problem I have with it, actually. I think a lot of the other issues get corrected if you fix that one, right? This is talking about a house of quality, right? It's not talking about the house of quality for whatever report this came out of, right? I could drop this kind of anybody's report and it'd be fine. Guys, can you give me a break over there? Thank you. So this is just way too general, right? On top of the other problem. I think if you fix this, a lot of the other things fall into place, maybe. Okay. So you need to make sure when you're discussing those tools, if I can take your paragraph by the house of quality and drop it in someone else's report and it still works just fine, it's way too general. Right. You need to talk about what's important for your design process as you see it. Right. The problem as you see it. Okay. So how about this one? Good? Bad? Good? Good? Yeah. This was pretty good. Right? We have specific points. So you have the one kind of sentence overview, kind of transition into we're talking about a house of quality now. Right? That first sentence. And then we get right into what's unique about this particular house of quality that's made for this design problem we're talking about. Right? And what information we can get about that process. What information your reader should learn by looking at the actual table. Okay, that was pretty good. Not perfect, but better. You're writing about the designs themselves. You still want to avoid parenthetical citation and reference, right? Some other points with that. Exactly match the text in your document to the figure labels. You talk about labeling the parts on your figure according to functionality. Use that those exact same terms in the document text, right? That way your reader has a one-to-one mapping. They don't have to translate between what you wrote and what's labeled on the figure. Make the reader's job as easy as possible. Okay. Another common problem, particularly when you get to the alternative designs, is referencing or using some other design explanation to explain the current one. The second alternative is just like the chosen design, but it's different this way. Right? Each design discussion needs to be a standalone discussion. Okay? The third alternative design, a wheeled rover, is just like the recommended design, but it uses wheels instead of tracks. Or, you know, whatever. Right? Don't do that. Right? Each design description should stand on its own. Okay? There's also an example in your book of exactly matching the text and what's in the figure. Right? They've circled the things for you that match. Right? So you have the kind of same terms show up in both places. Right? And this kind of figure is, and that's not a CAD drawing at all, right? But you can get some idea of the functionality of this kind of concept by looking at this. It's just circles and squares, effectively, right? Okay. Some writing tools. We talked about these leading into last week. There's an example PDF with some formatting stuff. There's that overleaf template. Looked like a few teams had used that. Feel free. You don't have to. You can write in that LaTeX. There's also that WYSIWYG mode on overleaf now that's not too bad. Okay. Word, Google Docs, etc. all work. Please do review that pre-submission checklist. Right, that's the first list of things we go down effectively when we look at your reports. Okay. And it's there to help you generate good reports. All right. Questions about any of that? Yes. Depends on the particular report, but most all our assignments have a less than or equal to page number, not a greater than. It's probably four. I think it's four for Arliss, yeah.
You said pages, figures don't count.
It's four pages of text.
Text, right.
So abstract doesn't count. It's introduction to conclusion. Yeah. Yes?
Is it better to put the figure in the middle of the report or attached at the end of the report?
That's a good question. So the question was, Is it better to include figures in line or to put them all at the end? You can do it either way. Pick one and stick with it for the whole report. So don't mix the two methods. Okay. If you're doing a more professional document, let's say, in line is probably better. Most of what I write is in line. For you guys, pick away and go with it. Okay. If you're including things at the end, remember that the figures should be included in the order that they're referenced in the text. Right, numbered and included. So the first figure that's attached at the end better be the first one you talk about in the document text. Right. Don't group together all the figures and then all the tables either, right, for what you do. If you talk about figure one and figure two and then table one, have them in that order at the end. Right. And what that does for your reader is they can flip through the text and figures together, basically. Again, you're making your reader's job easier. Yes?
So in relation to what he said, if we put the figures at the end, would that count towards our max page count?
No, there's no, the figures, even if they're in line, they don't count.
Okay.
Yeah, so we do four pages of text, actual writing. Yeah. Other questions? I would encourage you also, please take a look at those other presentations that we posted while I was in Korea. All right, there's a lot more information about how to generate good figures. We'll probably review a little bit of those moving forward, but not, you know, that's a good resource to look for your Arliss stuff that's due on Friday. Speaking of the Arliss stuff due on Friday, we have 45 minutes of class time left. What we'd like you to do now, wait a second, is to get with your Arliss team, pair off somewhere. We're going to bounce around. You need to see one of us. Show us your understanding of your customer before we're going to let you take off if you're trying to leave early. Is that clear? All right, go for it.